Saint Anne, the mother of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The epistle is taken from the book of Proverbs. When one finds a worthy wife, her value is beyond pearls. Her husband, entrusting his heart to her, has an unfailing prize. She brings him good, not evil, all the days of her life. She obtains wool and flax and makes clothes with her skillful hands. Like merchant ships, she secures her provisions from afar. She rises while it is still night and distributes food to her household. She picks out a field to purchase. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She is girt about with strength, and sturdy are her arms. She enjoys the success of her dealings. At night, her lamp is undimmed. She put her hands to the distaff, and her fingers ply the spindle. She reaches out her hands to the poor, and extends her hands to the needy. She fears not the snow for her household. All her charges are doubly clothed. She makes her own coverlets. Fine linens and purple are her clothing. Her husband is prominent at the city gates as he sits with the elders of the land. She makes garments and sells them and stocks the merchants with belts. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs at the days to come. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and on her tongue is kindly counsel. She watches the conduct of her household and eats her food and eats not her food in idleness. Her children rise up and praise her. Her husband too extols her. Many are the women of proven worth, but you have excelled them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty fleeting. The woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her a reward of her labors, and let her works praise her at the city gates. Please stand for the gospel. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to his disciples. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, and he who finds it hides it, and his joy goes and sells all things he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he finds a single pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net cast into the sea that gathers in fish of every kind. When it was filled, they hauled it out, and sitting down on the beach, they gathered the good fish into vessels, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the world. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from among the just, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, where there will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all of these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, so then every scribe instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings forth from his storeroom things new and old. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. When we look at the canon of saints, all the various saints who have been canonized and that we celebrate in the liturgy throughout the year, sometimes they have a description associated with them, both explicitly in the liturgy and oftentimes traditionally through just common usage. So we have a number of saints, maybe I think five, who are named Great. We've seen Gertrude the Great, Saint Nicholas the Great, Saint Gregory the Great. We have some that are referred to as Wonder Worker. So Saint Gregory the Wonder Worker, because he did so many different miracles. But there is only one saint that through the centuries has been referred to as good. Saint Anne is sometimes referred to as Good Saint Anne. The only saint who's referred that way, in that way. Why is this? Of course, Saint Anne is the mother of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who, of course, becomes the mother of our Lord, the mother of God. But when we reflect on Saint Anne, we can see why, through the centuries, that this little addition, this little honor given to her, is proper and fitting. Now, Saint Anne is the mother, as we say, with Saint Joachim, the parents of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the Blessed Virgin Mary, as we know, it is taught, defined by Pope Pius IX, that Our Lady was preserved from all stain of original sin from the first moment of her existence. The Pope did not say that Our Lady had sanctifying grace from the first moment of her existence. Remember, sanctifying grace is the grace that makes us holy and pleasing to God, children of heaven, heirs to heaven, temples of the Holy Spirit. He didn't say that. You know, all of us who are not guilty of a mortal sin right now are in a state of sanctifying grace. He said something more than that. He said, everything that was caused by the sin of Adam, every stain of original sin, she was preserved from. That is, not just the loss of sanctifying grace, but everything else that was lost, she was preserved from. So when we think about our own state, those of us who were conceived in original sin, we are baptized and we receive sanctifying grace. We become a temple. Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity dwells in us. If we lose that, we go to confession. We get restored to grace. But we still have a stain of original sin. The greatest saint still has the stain of original sin. It is not completely taken away. Well, there are graces that are lost, but then there is also the grace of properly ordering the body subject to the soul. And there's also another thing called concupiscence. Concupiscence, it's that mystery, that desire for sin that we have. That is from original sin that is not taken away. That is a stain. Our Lady didn't have that. And there are other things that we probably don't even know that were lost in the fall that Our Lady was preserved from. So the Blessed Virgin Mary, as we all know, was given a singular grace given to nobody else. It elevates her higher than all the saints. Of course, she becomes the Mother of God. She becomes the Queen of Heaven and Earth and is elevated higher than all the angels also. As many theologians say, Our Lady gives more love to God and is loved by God more than the rest of creation together, than all the angels and saints together. And so, her mother then, St. Anne, and her father, St. Joachim, of course, they then were given the great honor of being the mother of this great person. But when we reflect on it, and now we'll go to something, you know, when I spoke about Our Lady and her Immaculate Conception, of course, that's been defined by the Church. That is definitive teaching. Now, when we start thinking about things and we start connecting things together, we can come to conclusions. Now, these are things that we're not going to find in the Catechism, but they make sense. This is things that might be popularly held, and also some theologians might come to these conclusions. They're called theological conclusions, which naturally come from the teaching of the Church, but they're not defined by the Church yet. Similar to the Immaculate Conception, for centuries it was spoken about by theologians, it was held by the faithful. Our Lady was venerated as immaculately conceived, and it wasn't until the 1800s when the Pope defined it. So we can think about this in a similar way. It might be defined someday, it might not be. But St. Anne was the mother of Our Lady. And Our Lady was conceived without any stain of original sin. Now, when we talk about that, we think about that God, at the moment of Our Lady's conception, kind of zapped Our Lady and took care of her, and that was it. But we forget that who actually conceives the child? The parents do. We are conceived. I was conceived. That's a passive statement. Well, then who conceived me? My parents, along with God, of course. But my parents did it. So when we talk about Our Lady's conception, this is the way God created us. St. Anne and St. Joachim conceived her. Of course, with a special grace from God. Now, this is not to say that St. Anne and St. Joachim were not born with original sin. They were. They had to have been. But this is a mystery. We have one side of the mystery. Just like God is three persons in one being. We start with the two sides and we come together trying to understand this mystery. In this case, we have her parents, St. Anne and St. Joachim, had to have been conceived in original sin. And yet, the child they conceived did not have original sin. And we have to remember that this is how God created us. That we were created to participate in God's creative action. That God wants to create. Every one of us was created by God with the assistance of our parents. Of course, God does most of the work, right? But He gives us that ability to participate in His creative action. It's built into our biology. And so, when conceiving, when creating His mother, Our Lady, she who would be His mother, that theologians say that somehow, some theologians, I guess you need to be clear on this, say that her parents had to have been given some kind of extraordinary grace to participate in that. They weren't just, St. Anne was not just an incubator. She was actively involved. She had to have been given some great grace to do this. But parenthood, motherhood, doesn't just occur once the child is conceived and born and then that's it. As we know that the role of parents is not only to procreate, but also to educate. That continues through time, that God wants us then to educate the children that we conceive, that we teach them. Teach them about the world, not only about practical things, but also about eternal things, about God. And when we reflect on that, we have a child who is without sin. Then her parents, who are to teach her about God, must be in a high, high state of sanctity in order to do this. Again, they were both conceived with sin, her parents, St. Anne and St. Joachim, but they must have been extraordinarily holy in order to teach that little child, the Blessed Virgin Mary, on how to preserve that extraordinary singular grace that she received. That is, to be without sin. Because remember, Our Lady was free. She could have sinned. She could have sinned, just like our first parents, Adam and Eve. She could have done it. And it is parents that teach the children what they're supposed to do, the right way in which they were to go. And for St. Anne and St. Joachim, if this is the way God created us, then certainly God would have given them a high state of holiness. Of course, they would have participated in it. They would have striven for that holiness in order to fulfill that role that they were given. This is why images of St. Anne, we have the image over here by the candles. St. Anne is seated. She has the book. That is the Old Testament. She's teaching Our Lady about God. Over the altar, we have the image of St. Anne de Beaupré. She's pointing up. Blessed Virgin Mary is looking at her While St. Anne is pointing upward, and in our parish, in our church here, it's very fitting because she's pointing up to the Holy Trinity. She's pointing up, teaching Our Lady about God. Procreation and education of children. This is the role of parents. And St. Anne and St. Joachim could not have been different either. Like I said, oftentimes when we reflect on the Immaculate Conception, we just think God zapped Our Lady and that was it. We forget about the role of her parents. Her parents had to have been given great graces and achieved an extraordinarily high state of holiness to be able to be the parents of such a great mother. And so when we reflect on this, then we can see why, throughout the centuries, St. Anne is referred to as good St. Anne. Good as in reflecting God, who is good. She was conceived in original sin, St. Anne. She achieved an extraordinary state of holiness. Such a state of holiness that she was found to be worthy to be the mother of the Mother of God. And so, here today, we're here to honor our heavenly patroness, St. Anne, good St. Anne. So, let us then ask for her intercession for us, our parish, but most importantly, I think, and today, especially, our families. There's a real hostility in society against families. So let us ask for her intercession for our families here in the parish and also all families in general. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.